Well, good morning. How is everyone this morning? Good. Well, my name is Dwayne Sayre, and I am the family pastor here at New Horizon Church. And I have the great privilege of working with your kids and your students in NHC Kids and in Revolution upstairs and get to work with some of the greatest and pour into some of the greatest serving volunteers that I have ever been around. And it's just a privilege to do that. There's a lot of incredible things happening upstairs in students and in kids. We're seeing kids get saved. We're seeing kids get baptized. And I think one of the greatest things that I get to witness is as volunteers pour in to students and to our kids. And they serve. And I know they're upstairs serving right now and having a great time. And so I would just ask when you pray that you would pray for the family ministries here at New Horizon Church. As kids come to know Christ, as students come to know Christ. And pray for our volunteers as they serve every weekend throughout each environment in family ministries. Well, you ready to get started this morning? We got to do better than that. All right. Why don't you join me in prayer before we get started? Father, we just thank you for your love, and we thank you for the hope that we find in you. And God, I pray that you would just clear our minds right now, that you would give us clarity, that you would open our hearts to what you have to say to us this morning. Speak to us in your name. Amen. Fanatic. The word fanatic, the definition of fanatic is this: a person with an extreme and uncritical enthusiasm or zeal. Now, I'm guessing in our audience this weekend, the people that come into church, we are going to have Duke fans. All right. I like that. About three of you. Thought there would be more than that. UNC fans. Wow. And NC State fans. Two of you. Now, within that fan base, some of you are fanatical. Some of you are just way over the edge fanatical about your team. And a lot of times when we hear the word fanatical, we think about the word fan. And so this week I was looking up that word fanatical, and I also found some pictures of some fanaticals. So let's take a look at the first one. That is the number one fan for the Indianapolis Colts, right? Crazy. Okay, next picture. Some Cameron crazies. A couple Duke fans in here. Next one. UNC crazies. Next picture. Wolfpack. Next picture. You ever watch that show? This dude is fanatical about food. I watch the show sometimes, and this is what I want to do. I want to hop up out of my chair, and I want to go make something, even though I'm not a good cook, or I want to go buy some. He's that fanatical about food that he makes me hungry. Next picture. Disney stuffed animals. This woman is just crazy. Hundreds. Next picture. And for all of our Harley riders or hog riders, we have people that are fanatical about their bikes. Now, in my home, we're fanatical about a couple things. One thing that we are fanatical about, and maybe you don't even know about this team, is we're fanatical about the Oklahoma Sooners football. We enjoy the Sooners football. And there's something else that we're fanatical about. And not just my wife, but me also, are shoes. All right? Now, not everybody is fanatical about sports, okay? A lot of times we think the word fanatical goes to sports, but that's not true. There are some of us, including myself, you know, you go to the Mecca on a Saturday, which is the shoe store, and we're fanatical about shoes. We all in our life have something that we're fanatical about. Don't know what that is for you. But over the next couple weeks, we're going to talk about worship. We're going to talk about worship to Jesus, to God, to the Father. And as I've been here at New Horizon, one thing that Dave has done for me that has set it up, and other leaders too, is to do away with the stereotype of worship where worship is just coming into church on Sunday morning and singing a song or singing a melody. But worship is much more than that. When I was growing up in church, I thought that's what worship was. I thought it was just coming to church on a Sunday, singing some songs, singing a melody, listening to the band. But what we have to understand is that worship is just not coming to church. Okay? It is a good thing to be in church on weekends. It's a good priority. But that's not what all worship is about. Worship is a Monday through Sunday thing. It's when we go to school. It's when we go to work. It's when we're at home being a spouse. It's with our kids. It's when other people see Christ through us. And I think that's what Jesus talks about a lot. Worship is not a spiritual high or a feeling. Worship is not just a way to act. Worship is a way to be. Worship is a way to be 7 days a week. Now what we get to do is when we worship God throughout the week, is we get to come together on a Sunday morning or on a weekend, and we get to do it together. I know I've learned in my own life, if I'm not in God's Word, if I'm not praying, if I'm not listening to God throughout the week, then my worship in here on a weekend is not as great as it should be when we come to corporate worship. And worship for each one of us may look different throughout the week. But this is what I can promise you. If you profess to be a Christian, that you've accepted Christ into your life, and you're at work or you're at school, people are watching you. They're watching you, and you may be the only person that people see Jesus through. And that's how we worship during the week. Or maybe it's helping someone out. Maybe it's helping the needy. Maybe it's helping the poor. Maybe it's helping the sick. But we see great examples of this, that worship is not just a way to act, but worship is a way to be. And we see this in John chapter 8. You go ahead and turn to your Bible, open your Bibles and turn to John or on your phone or ever how you have that. We're also going to put it up on the screens so you can check that out too. But in John chapter 8, we see in the life of Jesus, his worship was his way to be. That's what Jesus did. He worshiped the Father. He listened to his Father. And this is what it says. Jesus said to them, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man," referring to Christ going on the cross, "then you will know that I am He." He was in this setting where people were looking for the Messiah. And this is what he's talking about. "And that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone." I love that. Jesus saying, the Father has not left him alone. "For I always do the things," and here it is, "for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." For I always do the things that are pleasing to him. He stayed in worship with his Father. And as he was saying these things, many believed in him. So here it is. Here's Jesus, the Messiah. And he's talking to a group of people. And he's saying there's struggles in life. There's things that go on. But through all of that, I do the things that are pleasing to my Father. And that is worship. And we need to look at that, and when we read that, we need to understand that the things that we do throughout the week, not just on Sunday, it's great that we come and serve, it's great that we come and sing, it's great that we walk through these doors, that we give our tithe, that we give our offerings. That's all good stuff because we're doing it out of our heart, we're doing it out of obedience to God. But God wants us throughout the week, 7 days a week, is worship. 7 days a week, we give our heart to God. And in this verse, we see that worship is not a way to act, but worship for Jesus was a way to be. And here's the thing, it wasn't situational. It was all relational. So the question that I have for us this morning, what is the one thing that God desires that only you can give him? I think this is a big question that we all need to answer. What is the only thing that you have that you can give God, that God desires, and that only you can give him? And here it is. To value knowing Jesus above all. To put value on Christ and to know him above all. Above anything else. Jesus wants intimacy with you, and he wants your heart. And we talk a lot about our heart and our obedience. And in my life, the joy that comes out of our lives is out of our heart. There's things that we go through that bring us down. But if we're in continual worship, we can worship God even in those valleys. It doesn't always have to be on a mountaintop. But if we're plugged into Christ, if we're plugged into what Jesus is doing in our life, it's not situational, it's relational. Matthew 22, one of my favorite verses in what I live off of. Matthew 22, verse 37. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your whole heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." The importance and priority of the first commandment, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. In these verses in Matthew, it is the heart of our intimacy with Jesus. And that's what we need to think about. When we think about worship, we need to think about our intimacy with Christ. How are we being intimate with Christ? Matthew defines what is central in the first priority for our human lives. Bind yourself to God. Bind yourself to Jesus. How do we do that? We do that being in communion with him. Being in communion with Christ. Living 7 days a week in an intimate relationship with him. Intimacy with Jesus. Jesus wants us to have more faith in his affection and love for us than our experience. We don't want to just experience Christ head knowledge. We don't want to just experience Christ one day a week. Jesus wants to understand that intimacy is every day, 24 hours a day. That we can have intimacy with him. Because our experience is fragile and subjective, but his love is concrete and solid. The love of Christ is concrete and solid. We need to load our hearts with the Word of God. As much as we can get into the Word of God, we need to be in there. That's what we need to fill our hearts and our soul and our mind with. God cannot point you toward anything else beside himself and tell you to be satisfied. It is the love of God that we are satisfied only in him. That's the only thing that God can point us toward that will satisfy our life. Everything in your life and service should flow from our relationship with God. Everything in our life should flow from the relationship with God. Now, as I was doing this message, it convicted me. It taught me something. There's been times in my life where I have put things before God. After I started in ministry, a few years after ministry, the ministry became more important than my relationship with Christ. Working with students and kids became more important. And so this week, as I was talking to my wife, we were talking about this. And I asked her, I said, do you see anything in my life that I put above God? Do you see that I put my job above God? And we had this conversation, and we've been married a year next Monday. And so we had this conversation. And I said, Laura, is there anything, and I want you to be completely honest, is there anything in my life that you see that I'm putting above God? Because I didn't want to get back to the place where I was before. And the word sports came up. And I said, oh yeah, football, Oklahoma Sooners, we get fanatical about that right before kickoff. We have to play this video of them coming out on the field, and it fires my boys and myself up, and we like it, and my dog goes wild and everything. In fact, my son named his dog Stoops, which is the head coach of the Oklahoma Sooners. And I said, oh yeah, football. And she said, well, not just football, but basketball. The basketball playoffs, which she hates. Baseball, hockey, bowling. She just started naming off all this stuff. And not that it was taking priority over God, but it had that place where it could. It had that place where that could become an idol. And I think we have to look in our life and we have to examine our life, and what are those things in your life that you come fanatical, that you become fanatical over? Okay, things are good. It's okay for us to be fired up and excited about stuff. There's nothing wrong about your favorite team and you go fanatical over it. That's good. That's fun. It's exciting. But for me, I don't want it to become my life. Is it your job? We do everything in the name of promotion. Do we come fanatical over our job? Our kids? You know, we need to love our kids. And we need to take care of our kids. And we need to keep close watch on our children. But sometimes we become fanatical because the world tells us if you don't do this and you don't do this and you don't do this, then you're not a good parent. You know, at age 2, if you don't have your daughter in ballet 7 days a week, you're not a good parent. If you don't take your 2-year-old in the soccer tournaments all over the world so they can be a professional soccer player, you're not a good parent. It's not true. The thing that you need to give your children, the thing that you need to give your child is a godly foundation. That is what matters. And, you know, I see parents around here that do that with their children. I see parents that give them that godly foundation, not just on a Sunday morning in NHC Kids, but throughout the week. That's a way that we worship God. And one thing that we say around here is about two combined influences are better than just two influences. When the parents and the church combine to influence their child for Christ, that is important. But the most important thing that we can do is that we can give a godly foundation for our parents, to our kids. What is priority in your life? Like I said, these things that we do, our job, there's nothing wrong with money as long as we don't worship it. There's things that we do that we enjoy doing. But this is what God wants. He wants our intimacy. He wants our intimacy. Probably the best word for intimacy in God's word is the word know. The word know, if we trace that back in Hebrew, it means yada. And we first read of this word right out of the bat in Genesis. And this is what it says. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, it said, Adam knew his wife Eve. Intimacy. Other translations use the word lay. Adam laid with his wife. True intimacy between a husband and wife. Intimacy, a detailed knowledge, and this is very important. Intimacy is a detailed knowledge or deep understanding and usually affectionate or loving personal relationship with another person. So when I read this word know, K-N-O-W, it's not talking about head knowledge. It's talking about becoming in a deep relationship with somebody and understanding them and becoming intimate with them. And this is what it says in Psalm chapter 139. And this is a great illustration. This is great verses to explain the intimacy with Christ. Psalm 139, it's going to be up on the screen. This is what it says. O Lord, you have examined my heart and what? Know. Everything about me, you what? Know. When I sit down or stand up, you know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. God knows our heart. That's what he knows. He knows our heart. He created us. He created us for his worship. He created us to worship him. He knows our thoughts. He knows our action. And he wants that intimate relationship with us. How well do you know Jesus? Are you in that intimate relationship with him? In Luke chapter 7, we see a story, which is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. We see this story where Jesus goes to a Pharisee's home. His name is Simon. And Simon was a fan. Simon was a fan of Jesus. He was a leader in the community, in the religious community. And I want you to imagine this story. So Simon invites Jesus to a feast, to a party, to get to know him, kind of. And so Jesus goes. And in this scene, he goes to Simon's house. And what I want you to understand is in this house, back in biblical days, in the middle of this home was a courtyard. And on the outside, there were kind of like bars where people could see through. But Jesus goes in and he reclines at this table. And more than likely, he was sitting on pillows and sitting on the ground. And he's sitting there and he's having a conversation and he's eating. And there's a ton of people that are on the outside of the walls looking into this courtyard. And they're listening. They're listening to see what Jesus says. So Jesus comes in, he sits down, and they're talking. And then this unnamed character, this lady, makes her way through the crowd. Makes her way through this party, an uninvited guest. And people are looking at her because they know who she is. They know that she's a sinner. They know that she's a prostitute. But there's nothing that's going to hold this lady back. She goes through the crowd and she fights her way to Jesus. And this is what she does. This is the great story. Is that she kneels and she's weeping. And her tears are falling on the feet of Jesus, whose feet are muddy and dirty. And she has an alabaster perfume around her neck. She falls on the ground and her tears begin to fall on Jesus' feet and she undoes her hair. Now, why this is so important is because when a lady in biblical times, they had to keep their hair up unless they were with their husband privately in an intimate relationship. But at this moment, in front of all these people, she lets her hair down and begins to wipe Jesus' feet off with her hair. She cleans off the feet of Jesus and she takes this very expensive perfume and she pours them on his feet. There was nothing that could keep her from the feet of Christ. She gave him her heart. She knew where she had been. She understood what she had done. And it had to be hard for her to make her way through that crowd. But she knew that she had to be there and that she had to give her heart to God, that she had to worship him that day. We see throughout the Bible, we see example of God's people worshiping something or something other than God, from the Israelites who worship Baal in 1 Kings. To the Pharisees who worship the law and their own righteousness. People miss the mark when it comes to making God the object of their worship. We do it. We miss that mark. I miss that mark. But later on in Luke, we read a story where Jesus is speaking to a crowd when a wealthy man ask how to inherit eternal life. Jesus answers by listing off a few of the commandments. And the man claims, "All these I have kept since I was a boy." Instead of commending the man's righteousness and celebrating his perfection, Jesus said, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come and follow me." The man became sad at this statement, because he was very wealthy. Now, here's the problem. The problem was not the man's money. Jesus doesn't want us to be poor. It's not about the things that you have. It's not about your job. It's not about your kids. It's about when those things become more important than your relationship with Christ. We all have something in our life that we worship. How do we know when we get to that point? Because something that consumes our thoughts, something that we think provides, it can be food, it can be material things, a job, a relationship, or the hope of a relationship. These are all things we need, but all can become idols. Listen to what it says in Matthew 6:33. "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Are you worshiping God, or is something getting in the way? It's very clear in God's word that God is a jealous God. In Exodus chapter 20, verses 3 and 5, it says this. It says, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself idols. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God." God becomes jealous when he sees us giving everything to this particular thing, whatever that is in your life. For me, it was my job years ago in ministry. That's what it was for me. That became more important than anything in my life. And I thought I was doing good. It could be money. It could be a boat. It could be a second house. It could be a lot of things. And it's not those things, but it's what we give our heart to. God says, I am a jealous God. And God wants all of our heart. He doesn't want just part of it. It's the important things versus the all-consuming. Those things are important. There are important things in our life. It's about giving God everything in our life. It's about being obedient to Him. In closing, what worshiping God merely is this. It's responding to who God is and to what He has done. To who God is and what He has done. We worship God because God sent Jesus to a cross to die for each one of us, to die for our sins. He did that for us. We worship Him because He has done that for us, that He gave His Son's life. So in your life, what is the important versus the all-consuming? What are the things that are important, but yet they consume your life? It's value knowing Jesus above all, and Jesus wants intimacy with you, and He wants your heart. And a lot of times, that's the hardest thing to give up, is our heart, and to be in obedience. Paul said this, and this is what he urges us to do. In Romans 12, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. For this is your spiritual act of worship. In view of God's mercy, in view of who He is and what He has done. So this morning I want to ask you a couple questions. What has God done for you? Do you remember those things that Christ has done for you? Look at those things that you've done for Christ. In the end, in the story in Luke about the Pharisee, about Simon, and about this lady who goes to the feet of Christ. She gave her heart. She became in obedience with Christ. Simon, who invited Jesus to his house, was a fan. He had a lot of head knowledge. He knew the word. He was a religious leader. And he was a fan, but he was not a fanatical about Jesus. This lady was the fanatical. She came in and she bowed at the feet of Christ. And she gave everything that she had to Him, her heart, her obedience. And we serve a God that loves us more than anything. There is nothing better than being an obedient to Christ, that we give our heart to Him. That's where our joy comes from. That's when things are going rough, that our joy is still there, that we can have joy in the times of these, in times of life when it becomes unreal. And God wants our attention. Here's the question in closing that I have for each of us. When is the last time that you had a moment with Jesus like this woman in Luke? When is the last time you poured yourself out before Him and expressed your love for Him? When is the last time you demonstrated your worship for Him? I'm not talking about just here at church. I'm talking about 7 days a week. I'm talking about your job, in your school, in your community, with your family. When is the last time that you poured out your life for Christ? I'm not asking if you know about him. I think most of us know about him. I'm asking this morning if you know him. This morning I'm asking, do you have a personal relationship with Christ? Where you have clearly said, Father Jesus, I am a sinner and I need to be forgiven. Or maybe there's something in your life that has put a void, that has put a separation between you and Christ. Maybe it's something in your life that you are giving more time to and more time to, and it's eking up there and it's crawling up there where it's taken the place of Christ. It could be a career. Today, as you're sitting here, is everything in your life pointing toward Christ? Is your heart pointing toward Christ? We're going to pray. And this is what I'd ask you to do. This morning, if you have never given your life to Christ, I want you to pray this prayer with me that we're going to pray. It's a forgiveness prayer. And you can do that this morning. You can give your life to Christ. And also this morning, as we pray, maybe there's something in your life that you know is getting in the way with your relationship with Christ. It may be something that is very important, but it's beginning to consume your life. And you're giving everything to that. And Jesus sees that, and your family sees that. So this is what I ask you to do, is to bow your head and close your eyes, and that you would pray this prayer with me. And this is what you need to say. Father, I need you. I have sinned. I am asking you to save me. Father, I ask that you would come into my life right now. And Father, this morning, I don't speed past the foot of the cross, but I stop at the foot of the cross. I stop at the feet of Jesus, and I thank him, and I worship him for what he did on that cross for my life. Or maybe you're here this morning, and you know that there's something that is very important, but it's consuming my life. It's taken over my life. Jesus sees it, and he is jealous. My family sees it. But that you would make a decision this morning that you would give your obedience and your heart to Jesus, and that you would trust in what he has for your life and not what this thing, even though it's important, but you would take your trust away from that and that you would give it to Christ. Father, I pray for each person in here. That our love would be fanatic for you, that it would be over the top, that we would fall in love with you and our heart would flow with your things. Jesus, we thank you for what you did on that cross to save each one of us. And we give you glory in your name. Amen. Go ahead and stand with me. And the band is going to play the song, Stand. And this is what I want you to do. Should you put everything else out of your mind, except your focus is all on Jesus at this moment, for the next few moments. And I want you to worship him through song. through corporate worship. And if there's things in your life, continue to pray that, that Christ would fill that void, would fill that spot. So let's sing. Let's worship God this weekend.
What can I do?
We're so glad that you're here this weekend at New Horizon Church. If you are new or this is your first time, please stop by our VIP section out there. It will be on your left-hand side as you exit the auditorium. There'll be some staff and some volunteers there to answer any questions. And also today, if you've accepted Christ, you can stop by our resource centers as you exit and pick up one of these packages that will help you get started. And back at our care and prayer, if you need prayer, if your family needs prayer, or you need to talk to someone, you're more than welcome to stop by there. It was great having you, and we'll see you next week for part 2.